Welcome to Light News Radio, health and self-empowerment for the whole human being. Featuring your host, Dr. J, proprietor of Light News, author, spiritual counselor, international lecturer, and co-host, Deirdre Layton, minister, energy facilitator, and spiritual counselor. Today, they support individuals to master their own uniqueness and divine karmic path. Light News Radio features strategies on how to overcome the obstacles of today's belief systems to become awakened and self-empowered. And now, here are your hosts, Dr. J and Deirdre Layton.
Welcome, everybody, to Light News Radio, Realms of Self-Empowerment, and we are getting closer to the spring equinox. Amazing, because as we go further here into our future, and the future becomes the now, we really are reconciling that we are luminous bodies of light who also have a physical presence. A great paradox for the rational mind, and yet this is what's happening. We're becoming more awakened. You know, Deirdre and I have been working very hard on a great lineup for 2015, and of course, we have a wonderful guest for you today. And as always, our purpose is for your spiritual self-empowerment and awareness. Hello, Deirdre. How you doing up in Canada?
Well, I'm staying warm. Woke up this morning to some light snow happening, but it's nice. You know, I think it's going to be a good weekend. I've got a lot of stuff on the go right now with, of course, Light News and Northern Light News and Light News Radio, and getting everything organized for some workshops that will be happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing pretty good. I actually feel like I am on top of it all, even though the office is covered with paper everywhere. But
I used to work for my dad, who owned a shipyard in San Diego, raised on the waterfront kind of thing. And eventually I was allowed to get into the machine shop, and then eventually machine shop foreman. And there'd be times when we'd have contracts with tuna boats and sport boats and Navy boats, and we would have so much stuff piled around because we were so busy. And my dad will say, well, it sure beats the alternative, you know, having nothing to do. And for me, you know, just having come back from Indianapolis and starting a new healers training group, which we'll get to at the end of the program, back in San Diego last night and then today, out to Calgary to come north and teach an advanced class this weekend. As you say, Deirdre, it's been a busy time, but I think it's been a great time. You know, I feel really good about the way these things are unfolding, as busy as we are.
I agree. I totally agree. You know, I pulled a belief card this morning because I felt like I was a little bit frazzled, and I just want to share it with all our listeners out there.
Sure,
The card that I pulled was called Courage, and it says, dare to be different, to make mistakes, create, for it is in creation that you exist. In this world of dreams that stem from the eternal heart, you are one with all creation. All is possible. Go forth and be true to yourself, for it is only through being true to you that you can be true to others. And I thought, you know, when I pulled this card this morning, I thought, we're doing a radio show today, and this is just perfect, because we're always talking about self-empowerment.
It is.
Self-realization, you know?
Right.
And this just, to me, fit right in for our show today. So I wanted to pull that, you know, and just share it with everybody.
Yeah, that smacks of authenticity. You know, I was watching a video of the martial artist Bruce Lee. Remember him from the 60s and the 70s? He was interviewed in the 60s. He said the ultimate aim of all martial arts is to be completely authentic.
True.
And you know, in this day and age, when we have so many codes and rules and laws about how to behave and how to act and how we tend to compare ourselves to others, you know, it seems like our work is to break that mold of sameness and to embrace our individuality, embrace our weirdness, embrace our uniqueness.
Yeah. And you know, when, you know, people say it's insane, I don't think so. I think it's like insanity. We are in ourselves. We are understanding who we are from the inside out, not on the context of being strange or different, but on the context of embracing that and allowing it and allowing that freedom to flow. So, you know, listeners, I know we're kind of babbling off track a little bit today, but it was really important, I felt, to share that with you. And you know, you can always find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter. We are hoping to, you know, set up this year an availability for people to do call-ins and things like that. So we're still working on it. But email me if you have any questions, or if something comes up from a radio show and you want more information, or you think you have somebody who would be great to be on our show, and let us know. And you can reach me at info@lightnews.org.
Yeah, and you know, we usually publish who we're going to be interviewing, you know, even if the shows are just Deirdre and myself, and you're always welcome to email or call in your questions in advance. There's no need to wait till day of, because a lot of times, you know, our show is broadcast at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, second and fourth Wednesdays, and not everybody's ready to listen to a radio program live at that time. So we fully recognize that. We want to be in contact with you. So if you got questions and comments and whatnot, send them in, and we'll be sure to get them on the air.
Yeah, you can call us at 877-242-5721. So,
and,
Richard,
and don't touch that keyboard. The
hold that dial. That's
the website.
Right.
The website is
www.lightnews.org.
Excellent. Well, yeah. What do you think, Dee? Have we waited long enough? Because usually we're kind of prattering on until about 10 after. But I'm feeling we should bring our guest on now.
Well, I think so too, because you know this. I'm going to say young lady. Haha.
Oh,
this
there you
woman
go.
That we have coming on, Reverend Debbie U-Harriet, she's actually now the president for the Universal Church of the Masters in San Jose, California. She has a degree in counseling, and I believe it's from Santa Clara University. And she was the founding member for the Center for Living and Living with Dying. Excuse me. So I've met Reverend U-Harriet a few times, and I think she's a wonderful woman. And she, you know, after 30 years of working with IBM, she retired and started to really focus on what her inner truth was and what her inner being and whatnot. So she's took on her ministerial work with funerals, memorial, celebration of life services. And now as the president for UCM, I think that she's got so much to offer and so much light to shine to everyone, you know, around the world. So it's my honor and great pleasure to ask Reverend U-Harriet to come on. Are you there, Debbie?
I am here, and thank you for all of those wonderful, kind words. It's an honor for me to join with you on your radio program. And I know we have a lot to share with each other.
So how's the snow down there?
Yeah, snow. I just, you know, some days I get up in the morning and I feel guilty because, you know, in California, it's just wonderful weather. It's been a little cool here, and that means in the 60s. So we are doing wonderful here in California, unlike I know where some of my friends are in Boston and back east. So I have them in my prayers and realize how fortunate I am to live here in California.
Well, you know, Universal Church of the Master at one time was the largest spiritualist organization in the United States. It had over 10,000 members, was officially recognized by the U.S. Congress in 1958, started in 1908, so it's over a 100-year-old organization. And I'm pleased that Reverend Debbie, who just got installed as the 10th president of Universal Church of the Master. So if you'd like to, Reverend Debbie, would you like to just tell us a little bit about UCM?
Yeah, you know, it's really incredible when you think about it how long we have been around. And I know a lot of times when people ask me, well, what church do you belong to? I explain to them that we've been around for over 100 years and that we are a church of spirituality as opposed to religion. And what I mean by that is that we really encourage people who are on a spiritual path to look at what they have innately as their spiritual gifts and what they believe in their spiritual path. And it's not about us imposing beliefs onto anyone, because, you know, we're all on a growth path, and, you know, our belief systems change sometimes as we grow and change. And whatever we believe in and whatever's right for us at any moment in time is really the right way of believing. So we don't want to impose our belief on anyone. We want to invite you to the table, invite you to the buffet, and have you work and look at what feels right for you. And that is the wonderful thing about the church. It's not about religion, it's about spirituality.
Yeah, and it's actually quite a church, because the products of UCM are creating church charters and licentiate and ordained ministers and healers as well, licentiate healers. So, you know, we really aren't a church as in just a church building, but the UCM is an organization that actually creates the ministers who then have the charters under UCM. And UCM is an international organization, which I don't want to take any of your thunder, but I want to make sure our listeners get a really good picture of how dynamic and how big of a buffet UCM really is.
Yeah, there's a number of people who through the years and currently are really called to have their own church charter. And we have those all across the country, as well as you know, in Canada. And that's how people want to define themselves and do their ministry. On the flip side of that, we have a large group of people who become licentiate healers and ministers who are out in the world doing their own ministry, which is unusual in terms of churches, because when you say the word church, everybody thinks of four walls, a building, and
right.
You know, as far as being a minister or a pastor, you're attached to a church or a building. And it's interesting for me, because I get asked that question a lot based upon my work, and I will go out and do a funeral memorial service, and when I'm done, I'll have people come up to me, and invariably I've touched some people in some way, and they'll ask me, well, where's your church? Where do you, you know, where do you speak? Where do you, and I have to explain to them that my ministry is specifically doing funerals, memorial services, celebration of life, some weddings. But that in terms of our church, we have a lot of ministers who do their own ministry in terms of their own work. And, you know, one of the key tenets that I want to share with everyone about the Universal Church of the Master is, number one, is our service to mankind. What we are about, if nothing else, if you get nothing else in terms of who we are and what we are, is we are about service. Service to each other, service to our community, service to the world in whatever form that takes. And that is what is the most important thing to me.
Yeah, no, and that I fully agree with that, because, you know, when you talk about the buffet, you're talking about all walks of life that come into Universal Church of the Master. And it's such a nice feeling to know that there's no dogma, there's no judgment, there's no, people are welcome no matter what walk of life they do, and they're encouraged to come and be a part of that.
Yes, and I think it's very important to be able to reach out and provide people that sense of warmth, community, non-judgmentalness. It's so important. I know that in doing my work, when I talk to families who have lost their loved ones and talk to them about what it is that they want me to provide in terms of a service, one of the first things that I hear over and over again is, you know, we're really not religious. We haven't been to church in a long time. We're not really attached to a church or minister. And right. I hear that so often. And I explain to them that that's really okay. That is really more of a spirituality that people are leaning to as opposed to religion. Right. And they're just not hooked into the way we grew up. You know, for me, I grew up Catholic, went to all Catholic schools, and grew up very much in that religion. And people have moved away from that. And I think they are looking so much for more of a spiritual place to go. And that's why I think people, more and more people are becoming attuned to and attracted to our church.
And when you talk about the spiritual side, you know, you're talking about a lot of inner growth. You're talking about a lot of what our show is all about, you know, self-empowerment, self-realization. And, right. You know, for yourself along your path, when did you start to realize about, you know, your gifts and how to do just that, how to self-empower yourself along this path?
Well, you know, I was very fortunate, you know, even though I grew up in the Catholic religion, my parents were very open and they were truth seekers as well. And so at a very young age, I was exposed to my mother's best friend who happened to be a minister in Universal Church of the Master. And subsequently, my mother became a minister as well. And she was very spiritual, had classes in her home, and she would do readings for people. And, you know, one of the things that I keep on my desk from her, and I think it applies really to all of us, and this was written by her, you know, many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, is that so many of us and so many people have not really awakened to their true spiritual selves. And we get so caught up in our egos that we tend to lose sight of the feeling part of our lives, which in essence is really the most real part of our lives.
Yes.
And that's why I've been attracted. I've been learning more about Sufism in terms of the heart. You know, really, our journeys really, for me, more and more has become a journey of the heart. And that is really, I think, for me, where my true spiritual self is. But so many of us, and me included in the past, we get so caught up in our everyday lives and the life of the ego that we forget what our true nature is. And
that is so true.
It is. It is.
It's so true, especially like when we're on the spiritual path and we feel this urgency, Debbie, that we got to get so many things done and there's so much to do, and we kind of get caught up and in that rapidity of we'll never learn enough, we'll never do enough, instead of just embracing that beingness that we really are and letting our gifts come forth naturally.
Right. Yes. I want to ask, because, you know, Richard, you just brought up a point, you know, our gifts that come naturally. And Debbie, you mentioned earlier, you know, that your mother did readings. Just for our listeners, can you tell us what that would entail? Like what a reading, what is a reading?
Well, my mother did a couple of different things. She would use tarot readings, which I'm sure some of your listeners may be aware of, using tarot cards, which is an ancient way of doing readings. She also did billet readings, which we were having a conversation you don't hear much about anymore, but a billet reading is where you have a group of people, you come in, you write a question on a piece of paper, you put your own little symbol so that you know it's your question, and then you put your question in a basket. And so then what my mom would do is she would pull out, she'd show the symbol, and she would do a reading for that person based upon the question that they had asked. And so that was, and then she would just do personal readings, like a lot of people, I think, more are used to, sitting down with someone who is a psychic, as we, as you know, Dottie Boone, who was on your show a few months back, who does readings with sitting sitting with people. And that was her, those were her gifts. For me, I've gone towards being fairly intuitive, and I do some healings. And, you know, my gift really has been in the area, as you had said earlier, in death and dying and working with families who've lost their loved ones.
And that's and that is a service that is needed all the time, you know. It comes through compassion, and again, back to, you know, coming from the heart, because you really have to be centered, grounded, and composed to understand what a family is going through at that time of need. So that's
well, and that's just it. Is how this in this day and age do we teach the spiritual nature of the human being in a grounded way, so that people don't think that it's airy fairy, smoke and mirrors, that
True.
We walk around with tinfoil hats on and the flat Earth society. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, even with death and dying, right? And how to show people that, you know, there really is no death. There's no such thing. There's only a transformation. So when you insert yourself in the middle as the minister, which is one who's in service, helping the person themselves to make the transition, but also, you know, helping that family to reconcile what really happened, is an amazing position to be in.
Yes, it is, because, you know, what you're dealing with people is people who have all different kinds of belief systems. And yes. So you can't, you know, I don't try and impart my belief system on everyone.
No.
What I do is I ask them to tell me what you want, because this is about your loved one. It's about your family. It's not about me. I try and get myself out of the way, because I'm trying to facilitate an experience for them that works for them. But with that being said, a lot of people don't know what they want or how they want to go about it. And so for me, I have to look at, What are the common denominators that I use when I talk to people about the subject of death and spirit and moving to another dimension? Because as I share with people in my service, I'm keenly aware that everybody comes from various religious backgrounds, but as I share with them, there's more similarities than there are differences.
There.
So I have to look for the common denominator.
Yeah.
One of the most important common denominators that I share with people, and I'll share this with you, that we may not be here physically anymore, but that doesn't mean that we're not still alive, because we are not our bodies. We are our spirit, we're our soul, we're our essence, and that lives on. And what I try and do is equate that to the fact that we love each other, and that is probably the realest thing that we have in the world, is feeling. Feeling is what's most important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I share this one little thing. When you get up in the morning and you go to work or you go to school, you don't see or talk to each other all day, but do you stop loving each other? No, you don't. You have family and friends who live in different cities, states. You don't see or talk to each other all the time. But does that love between you go away? Well, the same thing happens when we transition, that the love that we have with each other is still alive. It's just that we're in different places.
That's
empowering.
We can still communicate with one another. We can still feel the presence of our loved ones, but it's a matter of leaving your heart open, of being quiet, and listening for what sign they give you and what they have to tell you.
Wow.
One of the things I tell my students is the spirit gets it first, then the emotions, then the mind. And so when you're in a position with people whose loved ones who have passed, you know, those people rarely recognize that their spirit actually called you into their presence to be that person that holds the light and holds the love and helps make the connection from one level to another, in that, you know, there is a unity of consciousness, that there is no separation. And so I think that, you know, when you're in a position like working in an ICU or working in a hospice or you know, working with the, you know, the dying, quote unquote, that's an amazing calling, because you're actually helping those people to recognize that consciousness is connected on all levels through, as you say, through love.
Right, right. And, you know, it's, you know, it's, I share with people, it's so hard to forget and get and allow ourselves not to be grounded, because as you said earlier, Rick, you know, we get so caught up in trying to have to earn a living and taking care of the people in our lives that, you know, we sometimes need to take a big deep breath and step back and really focus on what is really important for us. And
we do.
We do.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy, because we can get so carried away, as you know, you said earlier, that we all have to be reminded. And sometimes that reminding comes in big things happening to us and to our world that we weren't expecting. And
or you want.
Yeah, or you want, you know. It's sort of the universe's way of saying, wake up, pay attention here, you know.
Well, that's where the rubber hits the road, you know, hospice, ICU, funerals, that is where the rubber hits the road. There's no monkey business. The person is getting ready to transition or has, and that finality is what a lot of people have such trouble with. You know, that there was Paramahansa Yogananda used to talk a lot about the fact that there's no death, and then his friend passed away, and one of his devotees said, Swamiji, I thought you told us not to worry, you know, when someone passes. And Yogananda said, ah, but it's the personality that I miss so much. So getting over that mortality or that finality, you know, when you're in a position like that, it is an amazing gift to soothe the egoic part of the person that wants to cling and hang on to, no, I wanted them here in the physical only. So I wanted to ask you, how did you go from a career at IBM to working as a minister focusing on funerals and memorials?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting path that I've taken. You know, when I was in college, I had done a number of years of work on a volunteer basis with the county at their suicide and crisis hotline, and it was there that a group of us met and moved on to form the Center for Living with Dying, which at the time was one of the first of its kind, because it was back in the day when Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, I don't know if any of you remember her, but she was the person that wrote one of the first books looking at the subject of dying.
Oh, and Hazel Denning.
So, you know, we started this group. Subsequently, I went on to work at IBM because of the practicalities of earning a living. But, you know, once I had gotten through that, I realized that once IBM had sold my division off, I didn't want to be there anymore. And so I retired earlier than I would have. If you would have asked me years ago, would I retire in my early 50s, I would have said, are you kidding? But I ended up doing that. And I really wanted to get back into the whole arena around death and dying. I know that for some people that sounds may sound a little strange, but I would go around to all of my friends as I was leaving the last few months that I was at IBM, and I'd say, I'm going to work for a friend part-time at a funeral home, and they'd all laugh at me, you know? And sure enough, that is what I did. So I started work part-time as a funeral director. And it was at that point that I really realized that there was a real need for families who, as I said earlier, didn't have a church they went to, didn't have a minister to call on. And the other part that I found, which was kind of disheartening, was I would hear at times from families that there would be priests or ministers who wouldn't do services because their family wasn't attached to that church anymore, or providing donations, which was really very hard on my heart. So I started to do this, and as I started to do it, my ministry began to grow and grow. So what started as one or two funeral homes has now expanded to quite a few funeral homes in the Bay Area, especially the South Bay. And a lot of people who come back to me with other family members who have passed on. And as I say to them, I tell them, each and every one of them, that I so am blessed to be working with each family, because as I tell them, there are no accidents in this world. I am drawn, and they are drawn, and we connect with one another.
Right. No coincidences.
Well, that's like you say, Richard, is that, you know, 95% of all communication is nonverbal, nonphysical. It is there. And these people are coming to you because they took an energetic plug in to you. You know, that's not the word I was looking for, but you know, they knew that you were the person that needed to be there for them.
Yeah, and you know, and as I share with them, and I share with each group that I speak at, a service that I speak at, you know, I may not have known the person in the physical world, but I do get to know them through family sharing about who they are. And I also get to know them in my own quiet, silent way, so that in the end, I get so many times people will say to me, did you know the person? Did you know Jeff? Did you know Sandra? Did you know? I said, no, I didn't. But if you think I did, then I really did my job. Because that's what I'm there to do, to express and to be able to bridge that from the physical to the spiritual and have people really feel that they've gone to a service and really understand that it was really about that person that we're there to celebrate and to honor and to remember.
Right, yeah. But what I'm hearing and what I want to amplify, Debbie, is that you do know the person. It's not unlike the billet reading in that your intuitive
exactly.
connection to the soul of the person really is connecting yeah. to the yeah. soul quality of the people who are present. And on some deep level, they make a connection. Although the thing is that most people just don't know what that connection is, because in our Western society, we haven't been educated that that is absolutely real.
Well, is it knowing
yeah,
or is it understanding?
For,
you know, it's it, yeah.
It, mm. I really like the way you framed that Rick. It's a great way to frame it, and I've never been able to do that before, but thank you. It totally explains that, you know, and puts some words to it, which is not always easy to do, as
no.
you know.
Yeah.
No, and that's that. Anytime we teach the subject of spirituality to move from an academic framework into an experiential framework requires, and I mean this sincerely, Debbie, someone like you who's giving a funeral service, but is, you know, 95% of all communication really is energy. It really is consciousness. And if the person who is the minister or the speaker, facilitator, really is tuned in and aware of that, you know, consciously aware of what's going on, it's going to have a much greater effect on those people who may only dimly be aware that such a reality really is true.
That's right. So,
yeah.
So Debbie, I'm going to ask you to shamelessly self-promote yourself, because that is part of our program.
It is that
and,
time, yeah.
You know, so if people are looking for, you know, guidance and looking for someone that they can share that transition experience with, how can they reach you?
They can reach me through my cell phone, and I believe if you put my name up on the web, I do come up, but let me give you my cell phone number. It's area code 408-410-4241. And
one more time?
The other piece of it is that you can always contact us or contact me at UCM headquarters.
Let's take a step backwards first. What are they contacting you for, Reverend Debbie? It'd be
what
two things. One for you.
Sure. They're contacting me for if you would like me to come and do a funeral, memorial service, graveside service, celebration of life, that's what you would be contacting me for.
And, okay. And of course, they could do that long distance, too. If you couldn't be there, you could fly there. Or you could provide some kind of a service long distance. So let's say somebody lives in Nova Scotia and they want your counsel as to how best proceed with a service there. They could always contact you in this way, right?
Yes, that's absolutely true. They can do that.
Well, let's hear your number one more time.
408-410-4241.
Great, thank you.
And
go ahead, Dee.
No, I mean the talent. And
is this that pregnant silence part?
It is. I tell you, there's that elephant in the room. There you go. But I was thinking about, you know, my own father's transition and things like that. And I remember, you know, how my mom had a difficult time going through it. And I know that, you know, when you've been with somebody for as long as you have, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the family puts pressure on individuals not knowingly. And so having someone else that is outside of the family to go to for counsel or for guidance, I really feel is important. And I think that, you know, along with the services that you offer, you probably offer that as well.
Yes, because, you know, the other flip side of it, I know we've kind of talked more about the spiritual aspect of it. The other part of what happens when people go through the loss of a loved one is there's a lot of baggage that starts to get opened up at that time. And things that you wouldn't have expected to come up begin to come up. And it becomes a time that all of a sudden, when you're supposed to be grieving, you're all of a sudden having angry discussions with siblings or other family members. And most people would say, really? At a time like that? Well, yes, at a time like that. And if you didn't think or you don't think it's going to happen to you, then you're wrong, because I would say 90% of the time, there's so many issues that come up for people to deal with. And
yes.
It's normal, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's certainly is normal. There's nothing abnormal about it. Because it opens up our hearts in so many ways,
and there's a lot of
churn, a lot of change, and you know, no matter. I tell people, you know, I've been doing this for I don't know how many years, but do you think it's any easier for me? No, it's not. When I lose somebody, you know, it's there's no easy way around
easy
it.
Easy to say.
That's what I was just going to say.
I tell people it's the price that we pay for loving one another, that at some point in time we have to say goodbye, and that's never easy. Never.
No, and we know that day is going to come because it is inevitable. You know, the Dalai Lama said, we Tibetan Buddhists don't worry about death because we never worry about anything that is inevitable. However, we do study it. It is something that happens, you know, and we miss our loved ones so much, right? I mean, my father passed away 14 years ago in a couple of months, and we were always very close, and I feel him from time to time, you know, but, you know, that egoic part of me just damn well misses him, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I share with people the fact that, you know, we get used to it, but we never get over it, ever, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's
just,
it.
Always with us because of that heart connection and love connection, and I hope to never get over it because that's what keeps them close to us.
So
well, before I forget, I want to make sure that we have the promotion for UCM itself, Reverend Debbie. Would you give them the website, please?
Yes, it's,
or I can.
Tell everyone that we are currently updating our website. Our new version hasn't gone online yet, but it should within the next month. And it should provide a lot of articles. It'll provide you with what UCM is about and provide you with information in terms of If there's a local chapter, a church charter near you, or how to right. contact us. You know, one of the wonderful things that we do at the Universal Church of the Master is we have a prayer request that we, you know, people call or email us with their prayer requests for themselves or friends and family who need our healing prayers. And we've had some wonderful things happen. And we have a great group of people that are doing healing work, and it's certainly appreciated. And so I want your listeners to know too that they are more than welcome to avail us of that as well. And our phone number here at UCM, we call it UCM, so moniker I would say, is area code 408-370-6519, and we can be reached on the web at www.u-c-m.org. And I would also tell you that we thank you to our Vice President, Kyle Birch, who is got our Facebook that we're doing, and we have our right. presence on social media with Facebook. So we ask, if you're interested, please look us up on Facebook.
That's great. Right. So, Debbie.
Right. And friend Universal Church of the Master,
that's
that
right.
website, one more time,
yes.
is www.u-c-m.org.
Yeah. Yeah. We ask all of our listeners to stay attuned as we talk to our guests, and we always ask our guests what would be one item, gift, tool that you could give to them that would help them to empower their lives. So of your life path, what would be one tool or one saying or something that you have in your tool belt that you could give to our listeners and to help them to become empowered?
Well, for me, it was something that I learned from my mom, which is how to create your own reality. And we create our own reality by going into our imagination. And by that I mean is what you are looking for or wanting in your life, you need to be clear about what it is that you want, what it is that you desire, and then imagine that you already have it. You act as if you already have the thing which you desire. And that is probably one of the biggest things that I've learned in my life that I practice. I'm not perfect at it, but it is one of the universal laws that is there waiting for everyone to use. And so I impart that to every one of your listeners out there.
So you're saying live in faith.
Live in faith. Live in your imagination that what you can imagine, you can make real. You know, how do you think everything has been created in this world? It started in your imagination. All of the wonderful things that have been invented, it had to start in the mind of man, and then it became the reality. So you go into the world, and if you want a new job, you go into the world acting as if you have that new job. You
yeah.
have to create the reality, because the reality really exists in the spirit world. And from a spirit world, then it manifests into what we call the real world. See, the real world is really the spirit world. You know, this is our playground here, this world we think is reality. And so you must have faith, and you must have belief, and you must go and act as if you already have the thing which you desire.
And
it's like you're reading out of a book. There was an author who was a New Thought spiritual teacher named Florence Scovel Shinn, and in about 1920s or so, she wrote these books, and it's just amazing to hear you say this, Reverend Debbie, because it's like, imagine what you want, and then live as though it has already happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my mother's teacher for learning that was Neville Goddard. And for those of you who are interested, you can look him up on the web as well. There's a website now where you can get all of his interesting lessons and teachings. And that's where I learned from my mom, who learned from Neville. And Wayne Dyer had even talked about Neville recently in one of his talks.
Fascinating.
Well, so, and you know what?
There's a real message out there as this is becoming more in the fore. Even with the book, The Secret, it's getting more and more wider attention, whereas it hadn't in many years ago as I was growing up. But, you know, I think more and more people are realizing the power that each of us have within the universe if we but take it, open our eyes, and awake to it.
Well,
I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, it's amazing. If we would just realize, even as Christ said, you know, you that have the power or the faith of a mustard seed could move a mountain. And it is just so true. But so many of us are in that egoic state, disempowered, disenfranchised, where we don't realize the spiritual power that we really have through God realization. It's just amazing. And so, you know, we feel very fortunate that we're able to have someone like you on our program who can help bring this knowledge to our listeners. Because, you know, when some listener hears the program live, or let's say a month down the road, they download it, well, their spirit was drawn to this precise radio program for that precise reason,
exactly,
for them to awaken themselves.
Exactly.
And I feel that the card that I pulled today on courage just spoke exactly what we have just talked about today. And, you know, Debbie, I wish to thank you so much for taking, you know, your time out of the day today to come and be with us. So one last time, how can people reach you?
They can reach me at 408-410-4241. I also have an email. It's Rev, REVDEBBIEU at sbcglobal.net. If you Google my name, you will find me as well, I believe. There's not too many Debbie U. Harriets out there.
Okay. And as well, the main website is www.u-c-amazonmary.org.
Yes, and you can find me most definitely if you go to our website, because you will find so many wonderful things upcoming on our website, and you can find the contact information for me there as well.
That's great. Well, thank you again for being on today. It's been a blessing, and it's nice to have people that can offer so much to our listeners, but also to the community at large. And I think that is a major role that you play through UCM and through your own personal life.
Most certainly.
So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you giving me the time and the forum. And I also want to acknowledge all of those guides and spirits, those in spirit who help all of us and who helped me today impart whatever, hopefully, wisdom or tools for any of your listeners to have. So thank you.
Very much so. Thank you so much for coming on our show, Reverend Debbie U. Harriet, President of Universal Church of the Master.
Thank you. And we'll see you all soon, hopefully.
Yes, I know we will. We have an annual general meeting coming up in May, and I know Deirdre and I will be there for that for sure.
Great. Look forward to it.
All right, thank you. And for those listeners who don't know, Deirdre just became an ordained minister on January 19th of this year, and I did the ordaining. I'm also in Universal Church of the Master. I've been an ordained minister since 1995. Wow, I think this month. And also serve on the board of directors as well. So, you know, it's really a dynamic, growing, vibrant organization. And, you know, the premise is you know, that all paths lead to the Creator, all paths. So,
and it's interesting because, you know, when I talk to some people about my own spiritual path, and they say, well, you know, how come you seem to have so many obstacles? Every time we turn around, we've got an obstacle that we've got to go through to before we find our spiritual path. And I say, well, look at it this way. There's a mountain sitting in front of you. Some people have to take it on the back of a donkey. They take right. that switchback all the way up. That's just their nature. That's how they have to do it. And then you've got these other people who put on their running shoes and they just go straight up the mountain. So,
precisely.
You know, everybody's different. Everybody's path is different. Everybody's way of working through their spiritual path is different. And it's unique to themselves, but it's also empowering to themselves. So,
and everybody makes it to the top of the mountain.
Everybody makes it to the top of the mountain. I mean, some of us roll backwards once or twice, but I mean, we eventually get there.
Well, we still have a lot of stuff to cover. I just came back from Indianapolis. We started our first ever healers training group in Indianapolis. I have ongoing groups in San Diego, in Calgary, just finished a group in Chicago, and of course one in Monterey, San Jose, that's going to graduate here in March, Deirdre. So
yes.
what have we got coming up? I know you've got a whole raft of things.
Well, for new classes, you have the new class that just started this past weekend in Indianapolis. You will be doing an introduction class in Camrose in March 28th and 29th, and that's Camrose, Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
San Diego, California, April 25th and 26th, and that will be at the Tibetan Healing Center. You have a new introductory class starting in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, October 17th and 18th. And of course, anyone can enroll in any of these classes. And if you have a class in your city and want one, just email me at info@lightnews.org and we can talk about what it takes to set up a class and how we can get Dr. Jelicic there. We also have a lot of other things going on. Like I said, events at the Tibetan Healing Center, but we're working on a couple of journeys this year. One will be in September, and we're looking at Journey of the Sacred Heart, and it will be meditations in Sedona, Arizona. And then we're also looking at a 2015 journey, The Three Principles of the Maya, the Sacred Masculine, the Sacred Feminine, and the Sacred Neutral. And you'll be presenting with Miguel Angel Vergara in Yucatan.
Right, mm-hmm. In Merida, Yucatan, southern Mexico. And that is November?
Yeah.
November 19th through the 25th.
It is. And I just finished, exciting, working with a beautiful young soul, Lisa Steeles, here the other day. And we've set up for you and her to do a third journey or adventure this year, and it'll be in December, and it'll be in Costa Rica. So you know, there are lots of things.
She's going to be teaching Kundalini yoga, and I'm going to be doing meditations and teaching all about the chakras relative to Kundalini yoga.
And we'll be able to advertise it here on the radio show very soon, but it'll be up on our website, www.lightnews.org, or on Facebook. And of course, you know, if we talk too fast and you miss any of this, you can push pause on our radio show, or you can download our radio shows from our website. We also have other special events that can be downloaded from our website as well. So,
That'd be nice if we could do that in our own lives and just push pause whenever we wanted to, right?
Well, I know I would love
it. Kind of nice.
Or rewind.
That's right. Just give me the last 15 minutes, please. I'd like to do that over.
And before
you get wound up a little bit, I wanted to talk about the hands-on chakra shop in San Diego, the Tibetan Healing Center. That is March 7th and 8th at the Tibetan Healing Center in San Diego. The Hands-On Chakra Shop is a two-day workshop, very inexpensive, and it's for people who know about the chakras and also for people who are hearing the word chakra for the first time and have no clue what it is. And it is a workshop that has a lecture but also has lots of experiential exercises so that you don't just understand the chakras academically or intellectually, you actually get an experiential understanding of what they are, how they work, how chakras can be dominant, how they affect the perceptions of how we perceive and react to reality. So I'm very excited, and I do teach this from time to time. It's kind of a precursor to the introductory weekend in healers training coming up in April in San Diego, Deirdre.
Yeah, and you know, I found that the last time that you taught that class in Calgary, Alberta, that there was so much feedback because, you know, when you're working with the chakras, you're working with meridians, you're working with all kinds of things at the same time, and how the energy flows and why it flows and where it flows.
Right.
But you talk about each one and what it represents and why it represents what it does. So it's a really informative workshop that is geared to the novice, but it's also geared to the person who has a nice understanding of what the chakras are.
And would you believe I've been studying the chakras for 25 years now?
Holy crap.
Yes, something.
Holy crap. There we go. I said it. I did it. Oh, dear. So I wanted to talk a little bit about upcoming broadcasts because we've got a whole swack of people.
Oh, right, you are. Yeah. We've got some luminaries coming up.
So this coming Wednesday, March 11th at 3 p.m., of course, Eastern Time, we have Christina Smith, who's going to be our guest that day.
A real spark plug.
Is she?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, she's like a nuclear reactor. She's got so much energy and doing so many things.
Well, I know that she has a lot on the go, and she's currently the president for the San Diego Holistic Chamber of Commerce. So I am really looking forward to that show and to have her on.
Yeah, she's the CEO of the Subtle Energy Center, and that's subtleenergycenter.com. And also, she's invited me to be a speaker at an event coming up in September in San Diego, a huge metaphysical event, which we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that. So the 25th of March, we have Armando Wise or Weese?
Weiss.
And I'm sorry, Armando, if I butchered that. Then we have April 8th, of course, you and I. We have Jonathan Quinton. Now, that's going to be a great show. And Jonathan is going to come to us from Australia. So we're
from New Zealand.
New Zealand. So we're working on some timing schedules with how to get him on. But he'll be coming on.
He's an artist accomplished in sacred geometries.
Oh, wow. That's great. Mm-hmm. We have Brooke Brampton coming on, and she is what is she? She's a graduate of your program, but I've just absolutely just went blank on what her practice is.
Well, that's okay.
But she does sound healing, and her version of sound healing is quite interesting because she uses normal everyday items that you would find in your house, such as your kitchen bowls. So she's just amazing at what she does. May 27th, we'll have Morgan Bosler come on from Indiana. And then June 10th, we have, of course, you and I again. I'm sorry, listeners. But we have to do a show every now and then where it can be just us. We would really encourage people to send us your questions or, you know, send us, if you would like Richard and I to tune into you on the show, you know, send us your name and maybe we can do some mini readings from people that send us their information ahead of time. Just their name, their age, where they are. It doesn't have to be any
possibilities are limitless.
It's, and I think it would be a lot of fun for our listeners. Yep. And then on the 24th of June, we also have Audrey Fan Mueller, an artist here in Alberta. And she owns her own little art studio, but also a rock and gem shop in Camrose, Alberta. So, yeah. You know, she'll be coming on the 24th.
All self-empowered people, and we're at the end of our hour, believe it or not, Dee. I think it went especially fast today because we didn't have a rewind or pause button.
But, you know, it was such a delight to have Reverend Debbie Harriott on because I just think she brings such light.
And power.
Empowerment, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody, we want to thank you so much for listening to Light News Radio, Realms of Self-Empowerment. You can get a hold of us at www.lightnews.org or call 877-242-5721. I'm your host, Dr. J, and my amazing co-host is Deirdre. And we're just so pleased that you come to our show and share a little time with us. May the principles of harmlessness and compassion be the ever-present, ever-constant guide of your every intuition, your every thought, and your every action. And so it is, and so it shall be. It is done. Stay attuned.
Thank you for joining Dr. J and Deirdre on Light News Radio. Please join us again in 2 weeks, same time, for more exciting tools and techniques for self-empowerment.